Let's start that over. Welcome to the workshop, $10 symbol. Please keep, please help me open them with a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers, followed by a stirring prayer. God.
God, grant your serenity to accept things that cannot change, courage to change things that can, and wisdom to know the difference today.
Can we have the reading of We Do Recover at the standing spot here, please?
I'm Mary Amanatic.
Mary.
When at the end of our road, we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can, to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Okay. I would like to introduce the first speaker, Adrian S. from the We Do Recover group of NA in the NEAS-CNA area of NA.
So it's long. It is NEASNA, stands for Northeast Area Service Committee of Narcotics Anonymous. My name's Adrian, and I am an addict. So my topic is our symbol. And I don't consider myself a good speaker, but through my profession, I do trainings, professional trainings for people's credentials. And I was always taught about visuals, how visuals help people understand what we're relaying. And man, Larry, he's a man after my own heart. He brought us some visuals. And then right before I walked up here, I looked at the back of his shirt. Larry, show him the back of your shirt.
Should I flex?
Yeah. Yeah, Larry got the symbol on his shirt. So he like one-upped me on everything. So, and then my thoughts are, well, you know, you're not supposed to bring like pre-written items to when you're speaking for Narcotics Anonymous. But this, to me, this isn't necessarily a lead. You know, at a camp out, they're more considered workshops. Because I can't remember word for word. I cannot recite parts of any of our literature. I have to look everything up. I don't know if that's from age. I don't know if that's from the damage that I did from active addiction, or, you know, maybe that's just the way it is. But I was taught it doesn't matter why. It doesn't matter why I'm the way I am. It's just, what do I want to do about my problem, and how can you all help? So I'm going to read what the basic text tells us about our symbol. It says, simplicity is the key to our symbol. It imitates the simplicity of our fellowship. Now, and a lot of this, I'm just going to say, I'm going to be speaking for myself on how I interpret things and about my story. So when it says simplicity is the key to our symbol, man, I'm a complicated person and I try to complicate everything. And this is, to me, it's supposed to be a simple program. Like, basically, it's don't pick up. You know, one thing I got to change, everything. So all sorts of occult and esoteric connotations can be found in its simple outlines. But foremost, in the minds of the fellowship, are easily understood meanings and relationships. And for me, relationships is a big part of Narcotics Anonymous. Communication is a big part of humans. So I had to learn about relationships here in Narcotics Anonymous. And I remember there was a speaker jam that Butler used to have. I don't know if they still have it. And it was called the Five Relationships Speaker Jam. And like that really opened my eyes. It was honesty, the relationship with self, fellowship, the relationship with others, spirituality, the relationship with a higher power, sponsorship, the relationship with our sponsor, and I don't know, does anybody remember what the last one was? But, do you know? But, you know, relationships, I didn't know how to make relationships when I was using. It was just all about what can I get from you so that I can use just one more time? But Narcotics Anonymous has taught me how to have relationships, and it was through the principles that are in this symbol and through the spiritual principles of the program and through the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts of service. And I've also heard, instead of some people calling it our symbol, it's been called the service symbol. And to that manner, service has really prepared me to be a member of society. You know, the steps have helped me to deal with myself, but service work has prepared me, you know, to deal with the rest of the world. So our outer circle denotes a universal and total program that has room within it for all manifestations of the recovering person. So that's our circle there that's going around the outside of the pyramid. And, you know, what that tells me is everybody is welcome. It don't matter what or how much you used or who your connections were, age, race, creed, religion, lack of religion, whether you're even clean or not clean. Like, it is not my job to measure your desire to stop using. Everyone is welcome here. The square, whose lines are defined, is easily seen and understood, but there are other unseen parts of the symbol. So the square base denotes goodwill. So that's the very bottom that the pyramid sits on. It's the ground of both the fellowship and the members of our society. And I've heard that goodwill basically can be broke down as doing the best we can to not cause harm to others. Goodwill is best exemplified in service. Proper service is, oh, here we go, doing the right thing for the right reason. I know that was a bit of a hard concept for me to grasp when I first got here, because there was no such thing as a right reason or a right thing. It was just the thing that was going to get me high a little bit more. And I can remember, I'm a product of long-term court-ordered treatment. And I know some of y'all say, you know, well, maybe I got here because I didn't have a choice. I did have a choice. I could have went to prison. I could have went on the run. And honestly, I chose prison. But I had a co-defendant, and we both had to take the same deal. And my co-defendant had already had a year clean in working the program of Narcotics Anonymous by the time our trial came up. So this person, who was my husband, he basically came home the night before our trial and said, so what are you going to do tomorrow? Are you taking the plea? And I'm like, nah, I think I'm just going to go to prison. Like, see, that's how bad drugs damaged my brain. In my mind, I thought, 2 to 4 years, that's not going to be nothing. I can go do my 2 to 4, and I'm going to be able to get out and keep on getting high. Because that was my only objective in life. Like, if I couldn't get high, I wanted to die. I had used every single day from age 13 till age 39. I might have missed a couple days. It wasn't for lack of trying. It was because I just couldn't find anything. But my goal every day was to get high, and it didn't matter who I ran over or who I robbed or who I hurt in order to do that. So my husband said, look, take the deal. At least try it. Try to get clean. If you don't like it, then you can always opt out and then go do your time. But, like, I was that high that I thought 2 to 4 years would be cool. Like, 2 to 4 years is a long, long, long time. So when I was in the first treatment facility I was in, I go into the bathroom, and I find $50. It was two 20s and a 10. And I'm broke. I don't have no money. And my first instinct wasn't put it in your pocket and keep it and don't tell no one. Because my first thought is someone planted it here, staff, to see if I'm going to take it, and I'm through the court. And that's addict thinking, too. So I come out, and I said, hey, did somebody lose money in the bathroom? Well, of course, all 15 other ladies there raised their hand. I'm like, shit, now what? So I said, all right, if you can tell me what denominations it is and how much money it is. And there was one girl that said how much money it was and what the denominations were. And I gave it back to her in front of staff. And, man, that made me feel good. That was the first time I had done something like that in a really, really long time. And, you know, that's where I found out that we can act our way into new behavior. The more I practice something, it'll become second nature. The more I practice honesty and accountability and doing the right thing, eventually I'm not going to have to think about it anymore. That's just automatically going to start happening. So the basic text goes on to say, when goodwill supports and motivates both the individual and the fellowship, we are fully whole and wholly free. So that's why we have freedom is at the very top of this pyramid. Once all the other parts of this pyramid come together, and the base of our pyramid, which is the universal program of goodwill, once all of the broader that gets, the higher the point of freedom. You know, it's kind of like it's geometry. You know, to form that angle as the bottom starts going out in order to meet a point at the top, got to keep getting bigger, and then obviously the point of freedom becomes higher. And that's not just for us as individuals, it's for the program as a whole. The more people that are coming to Narcotics Anonymous, getting clean and working a program, the freer we can all be. Goes on to say, probably the last to be lost to freedom will be the stigma of being an addict. I personally don't have a lot of experience with that. I work in the field of recovery. The credential that I have requires that I be a person with lived experience with addiction and recovery in order to have my credential. Shit, I even have one credential. On the application to get this credential, you have to have former involvement with the criminal justice system. Like, how cool is that? That means all them other people out there that aren't one of us, they can't even get that credential. We're the only ones that can get that credential. But my father, he never really understood addiction. And it's not his job to understand addiction. It is only my job. I'm the one with the disease. It doesn't matter if anyone in my family understands it, accepts it. Like, it really doesn't matter. But he don't understand addiction or recovery, and nor have I ever tried to preach it to him. You know, it is what it is. He don't invite me to his house. I'm not going to sit at home and cry because he don't invite me to his house. Like, that, I did that, and, you know, that's just how it is. But the people that know me well, and know that I don't live like that anymore. All right, it is the four pyramid sides that rise from the base in a three-dimensional figure. So those are the four sides. If you look to the symbol on the right where it shows the diamond that's in the middle of our symbol, and then they each four rise up. And those are self, society, service, and God. And here's my interpretation of it. For self, that is the 12 steps. The 12 steps helps us better to understand ourselves. For society, that's the 12 traditions. It's how we as a fellowship have a relationship with the rest of the world. And service, I attribute service then to the 12 concepts. The 12 concepts of service. And if you're not familiar with it, I think I left it back there. There is a book called The 12 Concepts. And God. So for me, most importantly, I choose to call, in Narcotics Anonymous, I choose to call it my higher power. And what I like here is that we can choose anything or anyone to be our higher power. It doesn't necessarily have to be God. So it doesn't matter if you're religious or if you're not religious. If you are, it doesn't matter what religion you practice. It's just something greater than myself. So in the beginning, it was Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, 5th Judicial District. That was much greater than myself. Today, it's the love that I receive from Narcotics Anonymous. Love trumps all. And it determines the way that I live, the way that I do everything. And I do primarily identify as a person in recovery. Everything that I do every day is only because of the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I've gained everything that I have in life, non-materialistic and materialistic. And what's most important is the non-materialistic things, like being able to be an aunt to my nephew. It's freaking priceless, and it's only because of Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm sorry, every time I talk about him, I cry. But I remember when he was little, when I first came around, I would take him and my niece to every camp out. I only worked part time because I was only capable of working part time, and I wasn't going to school. I didn't have all the things in life that creep up on us. All the things we wish for when we first get here. Watch what we wish for, because once we start getting them all, it seems like my time to do things gets shorter and shorter. But it's just because I cram too many things in my day. But, man, it was priceless that I was right where I was supposed to be. He was little. His parents were using. I was able to bring him to every camp out. I was able to take him to every convention, to every speaker gym, to every meeting that I went to. This kid came with me. And to be honest with you, that's how I got my Wii, was from a three-year-old kid. So my husband, since he got clean before me, the day of our trial, he got released from jail on house arrest, and I went to jail. And then I was in programs for a year. So my husband had already been going to meetings for a year, and he was taking my nephew with him. So then I come home, and I start going to meetings, and I got to be honest with you, I was scared to death. So someone, if they would just meet me today, I talk, and I don't shut up. But when I first got here, I didn't talk. I was a mute. I was beaten. I was embarrassed. I was degraded. I was living a life of dereliction. The only sentences I knew how to say when I got here was what you got and what you need. And it was like that for a year. I didn't feel comfortable talking to anybody because I knew nothing. All I knew was how to get high. So I'm at a meeting, maybe my third meeting after I was home, and I have my nephew with me. Now, he knows all the kids in Narcotics Anonymous. And man, these kids, they know everything. They know who's dating who works where, who drives what time you got to the meeting. They know it all. So I'm taking him to see Santa after the meeting. And he says, hey, this is my friend Alex. I'm going to introduce you to his mom and ask her if I can, if he can come with us to go see Santa. So I met my first friend in Narcotics Anonymous. It was Alex's mom. Like, and she came to my, she said, yes, you can take my kid to see Santa. She don't know me from a can of paint. I just got out of 11 months of treatment, and she's going to let me take her kid. Man, I was blown away. I was floored. And we started a lifelong friendship. Like, and it grew from there. I remember I was going to get my driver's license renewed one time, and my nephew's with me. And we go in, and he goes, hey, are these people here behind the counter, are they from NA? And I said, no, why would you ask that? He goes, because they're pretty nice, and nice people go to NA. Like, how cool is that? That's his interpretation of us, not a bunch of loser junkies that stole from their parents. His interpretation is, we're nice. He would look forward to going to every NA dance. Halloween dance, New Year's dance. That's where we spent our holidays. And we still spend our holidays with our fellowship with Narcotics Anonymous. And his parents would ask him to go somewhere, and he'd say, nah, I'm not going to go because it's probably not going to happen. But I know when I get to the NA dance, they're going to be there. Like, that accountability, if you don't realize how important these spiritual principles are, it doesn't just affect us. It affects everyone we encounter. It affects society as a whole. All right, it goes on to say, all parts are closely related to the needs and aims of the addict who is seeking recovery and the purpose of the fellowship, which is to make recovery available to all. So without these spiritual principles and concepts of goodwill, society, service, God, self, freedom, and a universal program, it wouldn't be available to all. But as long as we implement these into our fellowship as a whole, it's available to everyone. The greater the base, as we grow in unity in numbers and in the fellowship, the broader the sides of the pyramid and the higher the point of freedom. And I don't know about you all, but when I was getting high, there was no freedom. I didn't have freedom to choose nothing. My addiction made every decision for me. And when I wake up every morning, just because I have 13 years clean, you know, like, that ain't guaranteed. I only have just for today. So I get to make that choice every morning when I wake up. Do I use or do I stay clean? Now, it's not always in the forefront of my mind, but I know that just as much for the person still using, I'm affected just as much by one wrong decision. one wrong thing that I do or think or say could lead me right back there. So I'm very cautious of my surroundings, of my behaviors. I purposely don't put myself in situations that might lead me to use. Because I like dope, man. Like, I like heroin. And I'm not going to go to the dope house. Like, I don't want to see it because I don't know what I'll do. Like, I have a plan that if I ever encounter it, and I have encountered it. And unfortunately, most of the times it was because my nephew would call me to wherever he was at and say, I found something. Can you come over here and get rid of it? And it pains me to say, the first thing I did when his kid said it's under the bed and I pick it up from under the bed, instinct, first thing I do, and I'm like, well, what am I doing? What do I care how much is in there or what it looks like? And then I was able to flush it down the toilet. But I don't want to subject myself to that all the time. So I'm always aware of my surroundings, and I'm so grateful that I have been taught these principles so that I can be there for myself, for my family, and for my nephew. And service has put me in a place where I've been able to grow. If I wasn't in service, I wouldn't be able to achieve these things. I know when I first got here, my first day out of jail, I think my PO picks me up from treatment. We go to my house. Luckily, my husband and another recovering addict are sitting there, and the PO throws an ankle bracelet on me, and he says, well, you need to make out your windows for the next week. I don't know. Like, what am I supposed to do? What do normal people do? I don't know what they do, because I was in a program and told what to do. So luckily, my husband and this other addict make out my schedule for me. They're like, hey, there's actually an anniversary meeting tonight. We're going. We're taking you to area service on Sunday. When I remember, I told you I was scared to death when I got here. Man, they took me to area service. I wanted to cry. And they didn't hold my hand and sit down and say, this is the H&I table. This is the PI table. What is it now? PR. They just, like, they went to their tables and left me there in the middle of the room. So I don't know what I'm doing. And I go sit down at a table, and I was, like, welcomed with open arms. And that is where I grew. Like, area service was, like, my Red Bull. It gave me my wings. My first position I had there was, it was PI. We were selling t-shirts. We were selling basic tees to raise money for a billboard. And they threw me like $100 worth of t-shirts. They're like, here, sell these and, you know, bring the money back next month. I'm like, okay, like, how do they know I'm not going to steal it? Yeah. But since I was afraid to talk, that was my door when I would go to meetings. Hey, I'm selling these basic tees. I sold every one of them shirts by the next area service. I was so proud of myself. So the sales skills I acquired in active addiction, I was able to flip it and have them serve me well in recovery. Because I could, you know, I could sell a lot of stuff. But now I'm able to do that for a good purpose. And then, you know, I had just moved through different subcommittees in Narcotics Anonymous, and I remember once I was secretary of H&I, and now mind you, I got clean on January 12, 2011, but the last time I had used a computer prior to that, I had like Windows 95, so I hadn't used Excel in a long time, and I'm trying to make a spreadsheet, and like, I had to start calling people. And the only people I know that are clean are people in Narcotics Anonymous. So that helped me, like, break out of my shell a little bit, that I had to call and ask for some damn help. Because you know how hard that is? Like, that is hard. But I learned that the more I practice it, the easier it gets. And for me, like, I have a pretty big Wii now. And I'm not afraid to use that phone. And I call people for everything. My Wii knows everything about me, and but it was all because of service work and because I practiced the concepts here in our symbol that have given me the freedom to live the life that I live today. And that's all I got.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was awesome. You should.
I told you stay. Sorry.
I'd like to introduce the second speaker. Larry P. from the Simplicity is the key group of NA in the Limha, this area right here, dog. How about it? Woo-hoo.
My name is Larry, and I'm a recovering addict. Anybody who knows me don't even know that I don't even like to give leads. You have to excuse me if I sit off and on or stand off and on. You know, I have some health issues here. I had two knee replacements, all right? And I'm trying to get them strong. That's the bottom line. Over the years, I was taught, I'm from old school, you know, when I come through, they didn't even have, you know, the step working guide. When you go to an AA meeting, you know, like you weren't allowed to share because you was an addict. You know, there wasn't many NA meetings. But in going in and out, I'll jump back and forth, man. I'm not a public speaker. I've been on the streets since I'm this big. I thought it was okay. I was brought up that it's okay to lie, cheat, and steal. Friendship, what the F is that? You know, I needed a partner. I needed somebody that had my back, even at this age, you know, like growing up. You know, and as I got older, it's like a friendship. You know, like conspiracy brings as much time as a crime. I don't know. That was getting to be my mentality. You know, and it was really crazy that, and I will get to this because, look, man, I gave up my family for this way of life. You know, the first time I got, when I got, you know, the boosting, the burglaries, the stealing, the lying, the scheming, the cheating, and when I decided, man, you know, this burglary, you gotta go sell shit, and then you gotta go find a dope man, you know, like, let's just cut the corners. You know, I do that. Let's just go stick up the dope, man. We got the dope and the money.
That's right.
But that opened Pandora's box for me. Now, I didn't do that, you know, I didn't come in here until I was 47 years old. So I was set in a lot of bad habits. I could not stand, you couldn't tell me to do anything. You could suggest and you might get a play. But to step back, you know, like I gave up my family, my three kids, my wife, because I wanted the street life. I was comfortable out there. I wanted it. I pursued it. I chased it. The only time I got a break is when I got arrested. You know, and it was a joke. You know, because the guys would say, damn, Larry, we're in here programming to get to the streets and you're out there programming to get more time. So off and on, I was going to these meetings and the detoxes, a few I went through. Most of my detoxes were in the county jail. But, and I want to get to this here, but, and you just get the idea that I was an asshole. You know, and I had no morals, values, and ideals, good ones. But my first sponsor who, you know, God bless him, man, he was perfect for me. He had, he was cross addicted, he had a home group in NA, he had a home group in AA. You know, he had a sponsor, he had a support group, he had a degree in drug therapy, you know, like, and he also traveled around the state of Pennsylvania making sure all the programs were run accordingly. Catching the drift? I got booklets at home, and he believed in, also he believed in the tools, which we'll get to. I think God puts the tools here on earth for us to use. But when he went over this with me, and I work construction, you know, so that's how I can kind of relate to this. When he kind of went over with me, you know, it's like, oh, I kind of get part of that, but I didn't get most of it. But when it talks about the universal program as time went on, you know, this is a progressive growth. And if you look at my basic text, which I wasn't allowed to have for a year, I had to work on the first word of the first step for a year. I wasn't allowed to look at a pamphlet. I wasn't allowed to pick up no basic text. I had to work on a Wii. So apparently I have a problem with Wii. And I had to sit in the front row because he told me I was a whore. You know, but my last day using, And I'll get to the understanding of this. When I come out of the gallery off of Larmer Avenue, being there for a week and I broke my own rules, it was like, I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Where I hear that at? Duh. N.A. How can I do the same thing and expect different results? Duh. Where I hear that at? How can I do the same thing, get different results? How can I, you know, it's like, I can't even get high no more. I'm lucky I can stay well. And, one too many thousand up. Where the shit did I hear that shit at? So November the 22nd, New Way Life down here in Garfield, I walked in the door and there was three dudes there. J.A., Walter S., Charles S., Jimmy K., that I thought were either dead or in the penitentiary. And they see me walking through the door and said, holy shit. You know, but it was like, these were guys that I had respect for on the streets. And they're all in here. So it's like, okay, I'm tired. I don't know what to, you know what I mean? But, so I'm hanging out with them. They would give me everything but money. You know, and then my sponsor told me, he said, listen, you know, like, people, places, and things, and you ain't allowed to hang out with you. I mean, what the shit are you talking about? How, realizing that I'm my worst enemy. You know what I mean? So I never played so much pinochle, spades, and bibwhisk in my life going to the Indianapolis Club. Taking streetcars, yes, streetcars, that's how far back this shit goes. Streetcars and buses, because I'm afraid to be alone. Oh, and then here comes this shit that N.A. sneaks in on your ass. Or mine, I don't know what to tell you. So, you know, it's like, damn. Recovery is abstinence, change, and growth. That center word, change, is a bitch. You know what I mean? How do you live a certain way of life for the majority of your life and then just, you see all this shit and, you know, like, and, but you don't feel it. You ain't even, I ain't even thinking it. You know, so he was talking to me about a base, working construction. The wider the base, a good base, through home group, support group, sponsor, strengthens my program. Now that's square in there with the goodwill. See, my square, you know, to make a square, you know, you'd go from corner to corner major and it got to be the same thing. You know what I mean? My square is really, you know, me a little. You know, I read in between the lines, I do what I want to do, you know, hear what I want to hear. So I didn't have a square. You know, I don't even, it wasn't a rectangle, it was just a messed up NA circle when we say it. At the end of it, but when and I never lived by rules. So the home group that I joined, the first group that I joined here, there's home group rules. Rules, but I'm so scared and so tired and want to change. You know, it's like son of a bitch. Okay, for 1 hour a week, I'll live by these assholes' rules. Not realizing for a decade later that this is part of service. Yeah. Like I said, when my sponsor gave me my basic text, he gave me a yellow highlighter and he said to me, look, lighter, the things that are important to you, bring it up at a meeting or talk to your support group. Bring it up as a topic. I'm not N.A. N.A. is N.A. And I'm going to let you down, but N.A. will never let you down. Because it's, and you universal, go anywhere in the world, man. You know, I went to Wyoming. If I get to that, my wife said, you need a meeting, punk. You know, so I wasn't, drop me in the jungle, I'm going to find some dope. You know what I mean? So I go to the visitor center, and he said, there's an AA meeting down the road. So I'm driving down the road, and I see all these horses tied to.
That's funny.
And I said, what the shit?
That's awesome.
You know, when I get out, and I see these belt buckles this big. You know what I mean? Cowboyed out their mind. What do I have in common with them? When they started with the same readings,
yeah,
starting with the same topics, and I heard shit there that was the same thing Narcotics Anonymous says, But it was just put in a way that I understand. It's like, damn, my basic text now has not just a yellow. I got blue, green, orange, pink, that over the third. My clean date's November 22nd, 1992. Don't mean jack shit if I don't maintain what I have today. In the preventive maintenance of it, which is all part of this. Now, if I build a small foundation, let's say a circle, a foot square, and I put a square inside that for the goodwill. Oh, and goodwill is just doing the right thing, which I haven't done in 47 years. You know what I mean? My father wasn't a good father. He put my mother in the hospital a few times. He was a criminal. The only thing was, you never tell on anybody, and if you're not willing to do the time, don't do the crime. That's how I was. So I didn't have that good experience or that proper upbringing, but it did help me survive out there. And then when my sponsor told me the strengths you had in your addiction in that foundation out there are going to be weaknesses in your recovery until you reach that point that you could flip it around to a positive direction, goodwill. So these rules and regulations and building this foundation in a home group started branching out to, you know, like, first time, oh, okay, let me do a good deed. Let me hold the door up, pull the door open for somebody. Well, I held the door open for this guy, and he had to be glad it was one of my hydraulic ones, you know, it's on a cylinder. Because that punk gritted on me and walked. I said, you know, I'm trying to be a nice guy. I don't know how to be a consistent nice person. But my home group was teaching me this. And then when I find out that, you know, my sponsor had me going to anger management 3 times. This shit ain't funny, man. Because I told him about one more time, man, I'm going to snap out and I'm going to stick you up. And then he told me, talked to me like I was a punk. He said, sit down and shut up. You know, I was told, you know, like that I wasn't afraid of death, but I was scared to death of living. Not realizing that living life, you know, look, living life on life's terms is a bitch. Even today, you know, when I got to formerly work the 12-step through this foundation, practice these principles in all your affairs, what the shit, my life was turning into numbers. Holy shit, that's 7. That's 3. Damn, that's 2. You know, I had a trouble with we. Now I'm understanding that all my thinking, all my actions, the way I was brought up, brought me to this point. How am I going to change? I can't. We can. So I started to see what he was talking about with this foundation. And then I was talking about making a small circle, putting a square in it. Just anybody that knows construction, you got a small circle and you put a square in that punk and you want to build a pyramid, you're only going to be so high. Because it's going to fall over. You understand? But if I can make a wide base through my support group, through my sponsor, through my home group, and get involved in my recovery, which is seeing therapists, seeing psychiatrists, going to group therapy, and what the shit on an ever, and you know, and it's it, I don't know if anybody told you, but it's not normal for an addict not to use. You know what I mean? How do you lie, cheat, and steal for the majority of your life and just stop because you read some shit? What attracted me and part of this foundation was, this is a process. Remember, you can't tell me what to do. But that word suggestion, it got to the point I told my support group and my sponsor, I come right at you and I said, don't run this sucker shit by me, you know, like, I suggest, man, just punk, just tell me. Because I'm starting to have a life today because of this. I'm starting to see things because of this. So unknowingly, I'm making my foundation a little bigger, getting involved in, you know, being a nice guy, being polite, going back to my youth. Yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Because I was brought up, if you don't say that to someone older than you, my father would knock the taste out of my mouth. So I'm trying to get back to things, the little basic, simple, and I'm down to earth, man. That's simple, basic, keep it simple. I don't want to be here. I don't know big words. Them two words in the first sentence, I'll read them out of the dictionary because I don't know what them son of a bitches mean. Don't the cell don't work up here? So I can't even tell you his intellectuals in two words. I can't even pronounce them. But she happened to say them. Being a credit to society, I was an iron worker by trade. Last one hired, first one laid off. They didn't like me, but I worked hard. It got to the point working this 12-step program that guys was calling me to go to work. Then it got to the point guys were, well, how about you running that gang over there? All right, how about you, how about being the foreman? How about being a general foreman? How about being a superintendent? Because of this. You understand what I'm saying? Because of this. Invited into somebody's house. You're talking about babysitting. People wanted to bring me into the house, you know, like, he's a good guy. You know, and I'm looking at him, what are you, crazy? If you knew what I knew, you wouldn't even be talking to my ass. Not realizing my own change, but realizing and seeing the change from what my home group and people around me, man, you've changed, Larry. You're changing. And then my support group, man, would come, you know, like, I don't need, you know, I built friendships in here. But the partnerships that I build here by letting people know me, and the guys would come in, man, you're starting to talk off the hook, Larry. What's going on? That's what I need. I don't need that. When I hear somebody say, you know, like, after relapse and come in, oh, it's going to be okay. Man, are you nuts? It's going to be okay. What? You crazy? It ain't okay. But I welcome you back. You made it. This service started out with home group, going down the area a little bit. They're nuts at area. You know what I mean? Them punks, I'm sitting there in my first meeting down in Pittsburgh at the Tri-State, and I'm watching all these people coming in with Kentucky Fried Chicken bags and what the shit, man. And the punks was like 3.5-4 hours long. I ain't got time for that sucker shit. And my sponsor told me. 1 hour a week, man, you cop 24/7. That was your life. You got to give a you. You got to give up you. And then I happened to get involved in Greensburg, that rip ads, alternative to jail, and I just would look at them. They'd start bitching and complaining. I'd tell them, hey, punk, man, check this out. Why don't you call your PO or call the judge and tell them you don't want to do this and go and max out. And quit running that sucker shit by. That's the way I feel. Sucker shit. You know what I mean? Like you want to be a tough guy? Go in there and be a tough guy, bitch. Seriously, and I've said this to dudes. You know what I mean? They used to, the staff used to laugh. They would be standing off. I mean, we can't say what you say. But you know what? It's the truth. Oh, yeah. And then I had the opportunity to go into SCI Fayette. They wanted Narcotics Anonymous, and a lifer wanted Narcotics Anonymous in there. So Jim B, Tom C, and I went into here, and I was like, oh, okay, this is part of service. But you know what I was finding out? Every time I thought I was giving something away, I was the one getting. So we started that. I wish I had brought it. They have a home group. They named their home group. They got rules and regulations and stipulations for their home group 1 hour meeting. And if you think shit ain't serious there, you got a 5-minute time limit sharing, don't go over it. Because the vocabulary you're getting ain't going to be edifying. And I keep telling them, it's coming out of me. You guys can't talk that way. We're in, you know, this is the NA. You know, because I'm finding out that when I do shit wrong, let me bring us into it. When we do shit wrong, it don't fall on us. It falls on Narcotics Anonymous.
That's right.
So all of a sudden I got this responsibility working towards freedom, not making a small circle with a small square, making it broader, you know, so that, you know, like, should have, my sponsor told me early in recovery, he says, you have, when he was explaining this to me, you got to visualize this circle. It's like you're running around in a circle. The closer you get to center of the circle, if you stumble and fall, you're in the circle. If you run that edge, you know, edge of that circle shit, and you fall, you got a 50-50 shot of getting falling out. So I work towards the center of the circle. Because I don't want to fall out no more. I'm tired. So them dudes would say to me, check this out, Larry. We really appreciate you coming in. And I looked at him and I said, what'd you do? You lose a little bit of mind you got left? If you think I come in here for you, you lost it. Because I have found out you reach out to help people, but you never reach down to help no one. If I'm working somebody's program harder than they're working their program, I got to cut them loose. Because my recovery and my foundation and working towards my freedom, and trust me, I'm free, but I don't have, you know, like the longer we hang around, it's like the more shit that's going on. You know what I mean? I health shit, when I got all busted up in 97, and trying to make a long story short here, it's like they had me on the operating table, and you know, the doctor come over and leaned over to me. This is what I was told by my wife, which this is an important part of recovery, the family structure. Went out and told her, he won't let us operate. She said, what do you mean? I mean, I had rods, screws, pins, bolts, you know, all kind of shit going on. He said that he was a recovering addict and he couldn't take pain pills. Who said that? Now, my son come out telling her, crying to my wife, saying, remember that monster we thought was gone? He's back. That circumstances showed me I'm more afraid of the addiction. Not the chemical, not the alcohol, not the drugs, the addictive behavior, definition of a manhood, penitentiary mentality, street mentality, all that negative shit, than I was the pain. But that's part of the growth. Let's jump into family. My wife and I are back together after 17 years apart. When I left and run, came into jail and asked for permission to divorce me. Is that fear or what? Well, we're back together. Family be restored. Why? Now hold it. It ain't peaches and cream. She'll put her hands on her hip every once in a while and say, huh, what do I look like, one of your junky bitches? And she'll go back to September the 2nd, 1952, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There was a light mist in the air like it was now. So I had to say to her, I don't ever want to forget my past, but I refuse to live it. Because I'm free. How are you going to grow? Like I know what I'm talking about. How are we going to be productive if it's all negative and go on with our life if I'm living back there? Now this, look man, you know, I got 30 years clean. That probably came at 25 years clean. I made the mistake of asking my sponsor two questions in one day. I had 5 years clean, and I'm getting like, I'm on, oh man, this is great, man, what the shit, I got a life today, you know, I'm going to retreats, you know, I'm involved, you know, I can never give back what the gift that I got. I said, when did I get in recovery? I didn't finish the sentence. He said, 5 years clean, you got into recovery. Which is abstinence, change, and started growing. My initial growth came from you. Yiz telling me that I was growing. There's a gentleman in here I won't throw under the bus, but I was talking to him about shit going on, and he reminded me, he says, Larry, look, you will project negativity more than you will positive shit. And I respect him so much, I have to take a real good look at that. You know, and then I said to my sponsor, second wrong thing, I said, life is getting so great. What else do you want me to do? You know what I'm saying? He said, I want you to quit working the program. I said, what? He says, yeah. You need to quit working the program. And you need to start letting the program work you. Light bulb went off. And they will never let me down. If I do what was suggested, and I work on that, and I go in that direction, I get a chance to grow. I can stay free and I can work towards freedom. When my liver shut down, and then I got hepatitis C, you know, and I'm like, what the shit? I had to broaden my support group with people that were on interferon, not realizing interferon can change my personality. I don't know about yours. So I had to get a hold of somebody that I knew was off the hook, and they told me when they took their shot, a day and a half later, they would go to the cemetery and wrap a rope around them in a tombstone because of the old behaviors and the old thoughts. The sixth step for me almost took me back out. The only thing I remembered was that I was thinking, I'm constitutionally incapable of getting this. I did this for too long, that's what the therapist said. I don't know any other way, that's what the judges said. You know, and I can't change, I don't deserve good, because it was never any good. But Annie never told me that. Anybody that knows me, you come through the door, you're getting a hug. You see me here, you get, and look, man, you know, like, if I can hug the man, I got a thing, the women, I'll talk to you once, maybe twice you get a shot, third time we ain't talking. I'm introducing you like I said to another woman. That's it. I ain't playing. You know what I mean? Just because I'm 78 on all kind of medication don't mean I don't think shit. But I ain't playing that tape all the way through and do that shit. You know what I'm saying? My kid, I got a son Rich has seen him, he's a big dude, 260. They call him Little Larry. He loves dad. My daughter who changed her name, when she comes, now this didn't happen overnight. I get a kiss when she comes in the door. I get a kiss when she leaves the door. I get Father's Day cards, I get Christmas cards. I get I love you. I get you, Dad, you really changed. You really become a father. How did I learn how to become a father? Asking you assholes that are fathers how to be a father. How do I be faithful? Look, man, it's here. I'm a credit to society. They don't know it. And if they knew what I knew, they'd be paying my ass to come here. And goodwill, man, you're like, look, man, I'll tell the dude, if I can't do nothing for you, I ain't gonna do nothing against you. And man, look, man, it's here. Now, I don't get all of it, how they read it here, but relationship, I can have one today. I can be used, but I won't be abused. And I will never use you to get ahead. Now, don't think when they shot my son and he almost died, and I made the phone call, I said, put the pistol on the porch, don't ask no questions. And they told me, Larry, we owe you. We'll take care of this, just give us the name. And then this guy in the program said to me, hey, check this out, man. If you do this shit, who's gonna take care of your son? Who's gonna take care of your wife? What? The responsibility of goodwill, the responsibility of service just isn't a service in Narcotics Anonymous. Don't have to be a P&I, don't have to be an H&I. It's just being cool to somebody, saying, Rich said, saying hello. You're welcome. I've had the opportunity, and I humbly say this because there was a girl to come to the Thursday night meeting. She coming down the steps, I happened to be greeting, which I love greeting. See them sick individuals come in the door, remind me, I don't want to be sick no more. So she starts up the steps and goes to leave, and I was taught stop them. So I said, look, man, woman, it's only an hour. What the shit? Well, she kept coming back and coming back and coming back, and she said, if it wasn't for somebody having me come down here to listen to the Narcotics Anonymous message, I would have left. So our part of service is show it, don't just make it words. And the crazy part of it is, it sets us free towards the pyramid. So when I was all busted up and shit, and then I had to be on pain pills, they told me, you know, my primary doctor, familiar with addiction, because I was told I don't go to no therapy, I don't go to nobody unless they're familiar with the 12-step program, which helped me. So when I'm all messed up, I'm getting up, man, so-and-so had an operation, he's part of my support group, making that foundation good, making that square square. Now, it's like, I'm in preventive maintenance. I don't want that person back no more. I could think off the hook. I could feel goofy. Just don't act goofy. So I keep my foundation. I work in my foundation. And my sponsor also told me one time that I lost my train of thought for a second. Oh, and I found a God here. I told you my sixth step almost took me back out. He drove me down to Ohio, him and two other guys, and we went to Bill and Bob's place and seen all them Bibles up there, and I have a life recovery Bible. And it's called the 12 steps in it. So I work the vessels he puts here on earth, the 12 steps, and I humbly give the God of my understanding. I thank him for Narcotics Anonymous. I thank him for saving my life, and I thank him that I haven't picked up and on my own in 31 years. You know, and I've had, my support group knows my health issues. My wife has been in remission for 9 years. Her health isn't good. But you know what she said to me one day in the bed? And then I'm going to end with this part of the freedom thing. And service and a credit to society. She said, Larry, if I can't count on anybody else in life, I can count on you. Whoa. Can't buy that shit, you can't steal that shit, you can't rob that shit, you can't hustle that shit. You understand what I'm saying? We have to work for it and earn that one day at a time. The spiritual principles I had found out, I thought I said it was going to stop, huh? The spiritual principles I found out, when you feed the inside, Larry, you got a real good shot at keeping the outside in check. Now, if you didn't understand what I was trying to say it the way I put it, the best thing I could tell you to do is keep coming back and I'm done.
Alright, I'd like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, sharing their hope with us. Clear the reading of Just for Today.
Come up here, please.
Right there.
I'm Dan Manette. Anyway, Just for Today. Just for Today, my thoughts will be on my recovery.